and welcome to episode 4A of A Link to the Cast. Hope you're well. This episode is a bite-sized chunk, if you like, of gaming gold focusing on the war. Yes, it is indeed a war between PC and console games. Episode 4, by the way, still available to download. It features reviews of downloadable content games only on Xbox Live Arcade, PSN and WiiWare. I'm Mick. I'm the one who takes a look at all things Nintendo, be it on Wii or on DS. Here's Rick as well.
How you doing?
Rick, did you get up to anything at the weekend?
Indeed, I was out on the town, had a good night. How about yourself?
Yeah, good. I had a text, an interesting text from your girlfriend on Saturday morning.
See, now you've brought her up.
Would you like me to read it to you?
It's just inescapable.
Would you like me to read the text to you?
You know,
I don't
really
have it to hand, but the general gist of it was, hi there, Mick. Were you out with Rick on on Friday night, last night? Because he went out round around the city in which we're based, Liverpool, and he didn't come home.
Well, this is true. I slept at my old desk for old time's sake. It was like,
but you decided not to tell your girlfriend.
Well, yeah, you know, it's a various stages of mobile phone and miscommunication catastrophe culminating in a whole alcohol disaster. So, you know, it's entirely my fault, but we're past that now, buddy.
There's lessons to be learned there. Drinkaware.co.uk.
Indeed, yeah, indeed.
Absolutely.
Know your limits.
Yes.
Grand Shelf, did you have a great weekend?
I had a fantastic weekend. I went to see some turtles. That was great. I had a barbecue on a beach and got told off by the National Trust.
Oh, wow.
Well, you're not supposed to barbecue on
no,
the beach, so don't do it.
Barbecueaware.co.uk.
Yeah, it was spectacular. Gorgeous sunny weather.
What was your advice for the weekend then, Mick? Come on, spill your beans. Come on, let's see what it's got.
What did I do? I didn't do a great deal, to be honest, because we're having some work done, as people in the who follow us on Twitter will be aware.
Twitter, yeah, I saw.
My bathroom exploded.
Really?
Yes. Not while I was in there, thankfully. But there's nothing scarier than waking up to the sound of running water. Slightly frightening. Of course, my kitchen's being done as well, so that's an absolute nightmare. It's costing me a fortune, which isn't great or interesting. At the moment, the weather's really nice. Depending on when you're listening to this, if it's raining, I apologise. But I thought, you know, we like to get to know the team. We like to get to know a little bit more about maybe myself, Rick and Brian as well. I thought I'd ask a question. Ice pop, ice lolly, chalk ice or ice cream?
Oh, so much choice. But for hot weather, for me, it's an ice lolly, quite clearly.
Yeah, ice lolly.
I'm a big fan of the ice pops. A slight variation there, but yes, indeed.
My problem with the ice pops is the fact that just because of the thing that they come in, like the plastic tube that you have to squeeze, it's always got sharp edges, and I end up with little cuts at the side of my mouth.
Really?
And going and squeezing it in. Yeah.
The only problem I have is slightly different. They tend to get a bit sticky around the top, the actual cardboard. But I've never encountered a sharp one to cut one's face with.
You see what you've said there, cardboard. You see, I'm imagining the ones that come in plastic.
Yeah
like plastic.
Oh, like
I'm trying to think of a better word to say than sheaths. But you know what I mean.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
you're thinking more along the lines of Calippo or
indeed,
something like that. I would class that as an ice lolly, but...
Well, hang on,
the boundaries
an ice lolly. A Calippo can't be an ice lolly because it doesn't have a stick.
Lolly comes on a stick, yeah, exactly.
Well, I suppose it's my bad there. I'll recategorise my entire ice collection.
We're in the diagram, the Venn diagram, the sort of middle ground here between ice lolly and... ice pop.
Well,
what about you, Mick? Come on.
Well, I was the reason I brought up this debate because I was trying to select something from a freezer cabinet in our local shop, and I was looking at the strawberry Calippo, which I thought, great shout, that will be the one. And then I looked at the Magnum and I thought, oh, Magnum, I could go for a Magnum, but Magnums make you thirsty, don't they?
Yeah.
But then also, I thought, if you got a chalk ice and just stuck a big fat stick in it, that would be a Magnum.
Yeah. My problem is with any sort of Magnum style choc ice on a stick thing is that the when you bite into it, the chocolate cracks, chocolate drops off, chocolate on jeans.
Yeah.
It looks like you've been having a dirty.
And then when eventually a piece falls on the floor, you then feel like you've wasted a bit.
Yeah,
it's just
let's
annoying.
Not get back into the whole food on the floor debate.
No.
That's a whole podcast
especially
in itself.
With ice cream.
Yeah,
that's horrible.
Plenty of avenues to get in touch with us here on the cast. You can email via the website www.alinktothecast.co.uk. We're also on Twitter, just type in A Link to the Cast. You can follow us on there. We have a group on Facebook as well. That's brand new this month. Plenty of members already on board, so good to see. Basically, it's going on there and taking the mick out of Rick, it would seem so far. So feel free to post.
Ripping
on
in. Come on.
Somebody who's been in contact is a chap by the name of Mike Dunbar. Now, Mike has emailed the programme and it sparked an entire show. So well done to you, Mike.
Yeah, cheers, Mike.
I'll read you the letter, shall I?
Go on.
Do.
Yeah.
He goes, Linus. Hey, first of all, I'm a fan of the show.
Yay!
We like him already.
I used episode 2A to try and get my girlfriend to understand Professor Layton.
That's what we are. We're an educational tool.
Exactly.
Having supported us as a fan, he then cuts to the chase. He says, what I wanted to ask you was, since you all seem like console gamers, do you ever feel you're missing out on stuff on the PC? The controls, brackets, all FPSs are limited on consoles, in my view. The mods to games, and another thing you probably wouldn't even think of, I, comma, and some friends, comma, have taken it upon ourselves to try and bring back an old online game to a new height, and this game is The Ship. So he goes on, but basically the general gist is, do you not think that PC games are worthy standing up to their console rivals, adversaries, nemeses, whatever you want to call it? So we're going to sort of frame this episode of A Link to the Cast, episode 4A, PC games versus console games. And I'm going to let Rick, you can have the opening gambit if you want, PC versus console.
All right, well, I know I've got a few friends who are, you know, big into PC games, but primarily it's World of Warcraft for those buddies, and it's not really my scene anymore. I did it and you kind of get addicted to it, and I think the PC is well built for that kind of all immersive game experience where you just pour yourself into a game and don't expect to come out of it in a good while. My girlfriend, in fact, as you've already mentioned her this podcast, I think I'm allowed to now, she's into The Sims right now. The Sims 3 just came out, and it's another game which she's just getting absolutely hooked by and pouring hours and hours in. And again, it's one without any foreseeable future. But for me personally, I like to have a game which is like a good piece that you enjoy, a good, you know, completed story and just one product. And then once you've done it, you can go back and enjoy it a bit more. But then you know what you've got and you leave it and you move on.
Well, I was going to say, as a non-PC gamer myself, I'm going to nail my colours to the mast at this point. Right. What are the primary differences? I mean, I've never really dipped my toe into it. So what are the primary differences in online gaming to console gaming? You know, how do the communities work?
Well, there's so many different ways they work on PCs, and this is the real big difference. You know, if you're on a PlayStation or an Xbox, you've got that one network which you're hooking up through, and it's primarily built around your friends and stuff. But, you know, if you go onto an FPS or anything on a PC, you can just, you know, pick a server from anywhere around the world, and you'll be playing against another 30 or even 60 players, which, you know, you might never, ever play against in your life. And while that's still kind of possible, that's the primary way you play on PC, rather than the sort of the alternative. Like when I'm going online, I'd like to hook up with somebody I know, and then we have a chat, and then we, you know, go off and shoot a few people, etc., blah blah blah. But it really is just about going on and hammering. And the only other way of making a community around it is you've got like these websites like TeamSpeak, which are little applications, so you can hook up over TeamSpeak and then go into your game, so you could just talk. Like World of Warcraft itself doesn't have a voice application in it, but it's everybody on there goes into their guild groups within TeamSpeak, so they can chat and talk while they're going in and grinding or whatever the hell else they want to do. Now, for me, it seems
a bit,
yeah. Oh man, I'm showing my nerd colours there. Grinding's when you just go off and you just literally kill hundreds of the same creature because they might have one rare drop. You might see one in 1,000 or whatever.
I thought it was something you did in a Sean Paul video.
So yeah, you know, it's a different kind of community, and it works in different ways. Now, it was Mike, wasn't it?
Yeah, actually, I was going to pick up on that because Mike and his mates have basically set up a group to play this game, The Ship. It's available on Steam. We have a group, he says, The Ship Restored, and doing weekly events to up its popularity. It's a wonderful game which bucks the FPS trend by only allowing you to hunt one person, and one person you don't know who hunts you. It's set on an Art Deco liner in the 20s. I like this next bit. And you have to use items like knitting needles and paddles to kill your foe. Think of it
How
like,
cool does that sound?
Think of it like Death on the Nile without Poirot.
Well,
I love the sound of that.
It really interested me because I clicked on it and had a look because he was essentially saying, you know, it's on Steam. Mm. If one of you wants to have a go on it, then, you know, I'll set you up an account, blah blah blah, and you can have a go. And it looks fascinating. It's kind of like a murder mystery event style thing, and it sounds really good. And you know, it's the sort of thing I'd be interested in. But here is where my problem with PC gaming comes in, because I've got a Mac at home for a start, so that always causes a problem. Mm. I've got a PC, but it's kind of an old school one. And when I first saw this ship thing, and you can get it on Steam, I thought, I'll go and have a look on Steam. And it says system requirements, and I can't remember the ins and outs, but I'm thinking, yeah, my computer can do that. Yeah, it's got half a gig of memory. It's got blah, blah, blah. And I thought, and then I realised those were the system requirements just for using Steam. The Steam website. And then when I actually looked at the game itself, and it's got this list of things, and seriously, a shopping list of stuff, I would have to go out and spend £500 or £600 to bring tacky old PC up to any form of standard where it's going to be able to play that game. And that's always been my bugbear with PC games, is that they are so system intensive, and it requires this graphics card, and you need at least this much memory, and you need to have this speed of Ethernet connection.
It's so much more you've got to think about rather than just getting a game and whacking it in and doing it.
And even then, you know, you see endless internet forums of people going, oh, this doesn't work, and you need this patch if you've got this version of DirectX, instantly it was just a massive turnoff for me. I thought, well, I'm never going to be able to bring, well, for a start, like I say, my main computer is my Mac, so I would actually have to
get a new platform
Well, no. I'm not gonna bother.
You've got to be pretty serious about gaming if you really want to take PC gaming seriously, and I think that's the problem, isn't it? You know, I enjoy lots of games, but it's so much easier if you've got a console. Just go out and buy it and it works.
The thing with the console is it's been designed with a certain spec. All the developers have that, and all the gamers have the same console.
Exactly, so they can make the game around that spec and make it run even better than it would if your computer had the same spec. So,
yeah, a couple of the points that I sort of picked up on there. I mean, cost is the obvious one there. I remember growing up when I think there would have been a formative time where I think I may have started playing PC games. Our PC was nothing spectacular. I managed to get like Day of the Tentacle out of it. That was probably the best that I could manage. But I think Formula One Manager, but you know, when it got to the actual races, the graphic card wasn't up to enough, you know, and this was it wasn't, you know, a really sort of really high quality game that really needed a great PC for a fairly basic, well, basically the PC was no good. It was a bit crap. And the other thing as well, and Brian, there you touched on it, was your PC. Where is it at the moment? Where do you keep your PC?
My PC is downstairs in the front room, and it's just sort of hooked up to my TV.
I
use it to, you know, watch videos that I download off the internet.
I think
like
you're
that.
A rare breed there. I think most people have their PC in a bedroom or in like an office space or something like that. And I think one of the benefits now that we've seen from the, you know, likes of the Wii, the 360, the PlayStation 3, is that game consoles are now in the living rooms. You can sit on your sofa, you can rock out to Guitar Hero, you know, in your living room, and you know, you might have your surround sound set up, in, you know, plug through your DVD set and all that sort of thing. I think there's something quite nerdy about sitting in front of a PC and playing PC games. I don't know. I don't mean nerdy is in a derogatory term there, or is it a derogatory way, but
it's not quite as social, is it?
It's not quite
really
as social. You don't really feel as if you're sort of having fun. You're sitting more down to sort of take part in an exercise. I don't know.
What do you think about Mike's point, Mick? Because I've got a view on this. Mike says in his email that the control system is nowhere near as good. Do you find that your console's hard to control?
I think this is linked to first person shooters.
Yeah, this got to be, hasn't it?
It's the mouse and the keypad / spacebar system, which actually works quite well if you get into it on a PC game. I think for me that was solved certainly. Two games which I think proved the point. GoldenEye, which Brilliant. For me showed that you could strafe, you could look around, you could be as flexible as you needed to be without having to use the without having to use a mouse. And then when the Wii console came out, the Wiimote for me is the ultimate in terms of point and click.
Z4. Is that your second game? Is that what you're going to say?
Resi 4 and Metroid Prime. I don't know if you paid that
Metroid
name.
Prime,
and even a lot of FPS people online said that was a really innovative use of the controls with the nunchuck and the Wiimote in one hand. It does feel really fluid to be able to look around and move just sort of through physical expression of your body instead of hammering a board.
It's the basic sensitivity issues, isn't it? When you're using a mouse, you've got that so many different grades of speed which you can turn and retarget and things. And that is translated for me, like you say, exactly with the Wiimote. And I think GoldenEye was one of the first proper FPS games, and certainly for quite a long time, the first, the only to get it really properly right, where you could change your own sensitivity on your stick. So you weren't just stuck with the same old crawling and turning around.
The thing for me on first-person shooters, the absolute killer thing that has got to be perfect is the strafing. So it's your it's your sidestepping ability.
Yeah.
I think that is the ultimate, and I think you can get that on a keyboard, no problem. But I think what they've managed to do, certainly with the Wiimote and the Nunchuck, is almost take where your hands would actually be on a keyboard, lift them up and put actually controls into your hands physically. And I think that works now pretty much as well.
You get it on the 360 and the PSP now as well. Now that dual analog sticks, are as standard on
PS3, the PSP. It's still the biggest bugbear with that stupid handle. I love it. I hate it.
Is the dual analog sticks, because I don't know the real hard. I mean, GoldenEye got this perfectly right. Yeah. The real hardcore game way to play GoldenEye was to plug two controls in, and you could play it with two controls. So you had two analog sticks, which was the way I used to play it for a bit. So you've got analog strafing. But for me, the control issue, I suppose it's just what you're used to. But what I love about console gaming over PC gaming, I spent so long on the Spectrum 48K hammer away on M&N on Daley Thompson's Decathlon that, you know, when I first got my hands on a controller that's been ergonomically designed so all the buttons are in the right place, it's exactly the right weight, it's crafted, and it just sits there and you become of the game. You don't have to think about what you're doing with your fingers.
You make that connection with what that thumb movement does in game, and you just don't think about it.
Yeah, you think it, and it happens on screen.
It's brilliant.
I don't find that with keyboards, but I suppose it's just what you're used to, isn't it?
Yeah. I was trying to get my head around this question in my mind. Who is the more hardcore gamer? Is it a PC gamer or is it a console gamer? And then my conclusion was that there's not really an answer in that respect. It's more like, what's the difference between a nerd and a geek?
Yeah.
I think a nerd would play PC games. I think a geek would play console games. And I'm not sure which one wins or loses in that respect.
Yeah. I don't enter into that because I like to think of us all as losers. So, interestingly enough, I think it was a couple of podcasts ago. I can't remember which one it is now, but you can still download them all so you can search through and try and find it. But of course, Rick was telling us about, you know, something that might make this whole debate obsolete, or at least a chunk of it obsolete, which was, I can't remember the name of it, but that box you were going to plug in and you were basically, it was going to stream PC games.
Oh, the OnLive,
the OnLive.
Which was at E3 as well.
Yeah,
Ripple.
Where you're not going to have to worry about having the greatest graphics card. There will just be a standard, system set that you have. And then someone else's computer takes the strain and just renders the graphics and sends them to you.
I don't even think you need an actual computer to run it through. I think you can use it, which maybe gives you more options, but you can just hook it up to your TV because, like you say, streams everything across the internet.
But the problem is then, instead of relying on a console or on the technical specifications of your own PC, you're relying on the technical prowess of your broadband connection, which you have zero control over.
Yeah, don't get me started on mine.
Really?
I'm not going to name them. But
really happy days with mine. Are they messing you about or something right now?
I'm having an endless debate with them because I've just... Oh, anyway, I'm not even going to get started. But yeah, my speed varies from about 2 meg if I'm up at 4 o'clock on a Thursday morning. then I'll get 2 meg of the 8 I'm supposed to get.
Right.
And then on a weekend day, on a Friday night or something like that, maybe if I get 400, something like that.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, and that's going to be nowhere near enough, is it, to be able to play. You're talking about, you need 2 meg to be able to watch iPlayer on online.
Yeah,
clearly.
I mean, I think they did say that with a standard sort of 8 meg connection, you could probably get low definition sort of gameplay experiences. But if you're going
yeah, that's the future, isn't it?
But this is it, you know. But hopefully, in the next couple of years, like my broadband supply has just been up to 10 meg as standard, and I don't even pay anything extra for it. If I wanted to do this and take this seriously, would I consider to upgrade to, I don't know, a 50 meg package, which they do, fiber optic package? If I'm not paying for a computer, if I'm not paying for upgrades or a new console every 5 years, then maybe I would.
Okay.
Think about the other uses for it.
So you're paying for that, then you're paying for what? The OnLive subscription service?
Well, yeah, it's true.
It does add up.
It adds up, but I'm just saying you get other things for it. Well, no, because you don't have to download the games. And like you say, it's a subscription service. And if it's open to all of the third-party games developers, which, you know, they've all pretty much signed up for, certainly all the American ones, then you're getting all the games there already. So do you really need to go out and spend any more money on gaming? I don't think I'm quite that much of a nerd slash geek.
So what you're saying, in a few months' time, we might be able to be both geeks and nerds PC hybrids and console gaming.
Absolutely.
Let's try and wrap things up. Well, by the way, the next podcast, we're going to interview actually with the MD of Metaboly UK. If you ever use their website, that streams games online via the PC. So we'll be talking to them. We can raise those very issues with a chap by the name of Paul, who we'll be speaking to from Metaboly UK. PC versus consoles. Overall, let's talk controls. So console is now caught up with PC when it comes to first-person shooters. Overall, I fancy a console for platformers and all that.
Consoles are more intuitive.
So consoles wins on controls. Cost.
You've got consoles.
So you've got a one-off payment for your 360, 279, say, or a little bit more maybe for a PlayStation 3, 179 for a Wii. But then that lasts you 3.5, 4, 4.5 years.
At least. Yeah, absolutely.
If you've got a PC, what are we saying? That you've got to constantly be upgrading depending on which game you want to play next?
I made my PC about 4 or 5 years ago, and like I say, I just spent another 60 quid on memory, and I'm thinking about a graphics card, so at least every 4 or 5 years.
It's kind of a bottom. It's a bottomless well. There's always something better out there that you could get.
In terms of the games that are available, I mean, where do we stand on that? I mean, that you get sort of online exclusive, PC exclusives, Xbox exclusives. Is there enough of a definition? I mean, the World of Warcraft is a major, major title. Would that be enough to sort of tempt you to sort of stick with PC gaming? I'd rather have, I think, the console exclusives, the Mario Brothers, the Zeldas.
Fair play to World of Warcraft, though, as well. World of Warcraft, I think they recognised the hardware issues very early on as well, and it's not exactly system intensive, and you can actually play them on Mac. You can play it on Macs as well, and you know, the graphics aren't the be all and end all of that. So, you know, fair play to them there. I'm kind of going to have to abstain because I know so little about the world of PC gaming that I don't really keep in touch of what's out there. But I'm sure there is a massive amount of variety.
There's untold amounts of variety. For, you know, if you're an Xbox fan, you'll know that there is a lot of Xbox games which then get translated to PC within a good couple of months of the actual initial Xbox release anyway. So you've got almost the entire 360 catalogue, as well as, you know, you've got years worth of PC games which you can download or you can buy over Steam, like you were saying before.
That's true, and we've not even touched on mods, which of course is the big thing for PC gamers, people take a game, they rip it apart, they put it back in a brand new way, and it's more popular than the game was in the first place.
When the Orange Box got released on the Xbox and the PS3, which is of course Half-Life 2 and a whole bunch of other games, if you got that over Steam, then you've basically got a full toolkit for creating any kind of a game as well, so... You know, that has absolutely exploded in the years since release. So for me, PC actually wins over on the choice, which kind of bites, but it's there.
I'm going to say it's a draw as far as I'm concerned, because there aren't any games that make me go, I want to play that on PC, but then you don't really know about it.
Yeah, true. And that's the reason why.
Yeah, I'm going to say that the sort of games that I want to play are available on console.
Mm. Yeah.
That's what I will say. So we've done cost, we've done control. Online, I mean, PC, I mean, surely PC wins, actually. Does PC win in terms of online gaming?
I think most games, I think most games for PC are designed with online in mind, but, you know, the consoles are massively catching up on that now. Yeah. You know, games are sold almost entirely on their multiplayer.
You know, there is nothing on console that compares with World of Warcraft or another true MMO, which are only on PC, really. So, you know, in that kind of flavour of online game, the PC absolutely trumps. But, you know, with so many online games coming out on console, so many games being designed with formidable online elements, then I'd say it's a different choice. And it's like going back to comparing the geeks and nerds earlier. It's different flavours of the same thing.
I'm going to err on the side of the PC, I think.
Well, good erring. This is getting dangerously close to PC's winning. We might have to stop this podcast.
I'm still with the console on this one, but I may have slipped my footing earlier.
See, I'm just worried. I just think, you know, so many people can't be wrong. I would always pick consoles over PC, but I just think so many people who I would respect as people and as gamers are massively into PC games and would fight the PC corner much more than I would fight probably the console corner.
World of Warcraft on the PC and the ship, that just sounds awesome. I still that haven't checked that out. Fantastic. I really want to have a play at
well
that.
we'll pop the link up on the Facebook absolutely. Group and we'll tweet it in a bit, and it'll be there on the website as well, so you can go and check it out.
Those kinds of flavors of games just aren't on the console, so you know it's got a flavor there, but I still think that, you know, things like Tekken or like Gran Turismo's and things proper racing games. I know you can get them on the PC, but they're done on the console so brilliantly as well these days. Why bother?
So, in conclusion, Rick, you've got 10 seconds to sum up your overall thoughts.
I'm still a console man. Console man to the core. I've got a lot of love for the PC, and I, you know, I have had many good years on it, but
most of
the games I play on the PS3. Done.
I like that. Brian Shelf, PC versus consoles. Your overall thoughts.
Right, consoles. I'm a console boy. Fell in love with my SNES, and now I love all my consoles. And also, for me, I'm on the side of Mac versus PC anyway. So Macs.
Macs.
We're not going to touch
Hang
that debate,
on a minute.
Surely.
You just throw that one in there.
Macs are the best. I don't use them for playing games, but they're just simply the best simply the best platform in the world. I love Mac.
But do you play games on it?
No.
Then it has no part in this discussion.
little producer Adam fiddling with his knobs and thinking, yeah, here's another Mac lover out there. Get out. There's no room for Mac love in this podcast. Let's move on.
My overall thoughts coming at you. Right, you ready?
Yep.
I prefer consoles.
Yay.
PCs. Because I like them better.
Three. There you go.
See, that was about 10 seconds.
Yeah.
Console wins, of course.
Okay, so there you have it. It's all over. The war has been won by the console. Console games, played by us console gamers, we have ruled, are better than PC games, which we don't even play.
Yeah.
But that's how biased we are. We don't have to be balanced.
No, you've got to have... I think it's much easier to have an opinion that's not based on any facts whatsoever because it's easier to defend.
Yeah.
Well, Mike, we'll obviously take any other emails that you want to send our way with your comments to heart, but it's consoles all the way
for us.
But
if you think we're going to donate an entire episode to you again, then you've got some nerve, pal. So we'll leave it at that before I kick off. Mike, thanks for your email. If you want to get involved with the show, www.alinktothecast.co.uk. In the meantime, you can follow us on Twitter. You can also tweet us through there. You can also go on the Facebook page as well, as a couple of people have done so far, raising certain points with Ricardo, which we'll bring up in episode 5.
Yes.
Your news updates from E3 got absolutely slated, pal.
Yeah. And to be honest, you know what? I've actually bumped my ideas up. I've got a full list of great PS3 news from E3 for our next podcast. So, you know what, Matt?
On
thank you very much.
A link to thecast.co.uk. Follow us on Twitter. We're online, we're on download, and we're on your MP3 player as well. I'm Mick. That was Rick.
Adios.
And Brian Shelf as well. Stay tuned for the funnier, hilarious outtake coming after this.
What would the outtake be?
I don't know if we've got a funny outtake. We could use this as the funny outtake of us discussing the fact that Mick shot his mouth off before thinking about anything.
Okay.
Yeah, that'll do.